Oh no. What's up, guys? Welcome in to the 2024 NFL Draft Preview. Very excited. Very excited. Year nine since this specific thing happened with Laramie Tunsil. Still funny. Still funny. Anyway, just very excited to start the show. Hope everyone's having a fantastic day. I'm going to bring in a special guest. You guys might have seen him before. Get in here. Look at who it is, guys. Gracing us with his presence.
Team.
Right. What's that?
I want to wear the gas mask.
I don't know how to do that. That took a lot of work. all right. So for those of you joining us, we did this. We started this yesterday, and we'll continue it. Just a daily version of the podcast, Fourth and Wrong Daily, as you can see from the what do you call it? If you guys have suggestions on what we should be doing for the background colors and branding, I've overthought it. I'll admit it. It doesn't really matter, but that's where we are. All right, let's get into it. We got Tyler Huck and yours truly, Chris Marler. We're watching live. We're an hour to go, less than an hour to go until the NFL draft starts, round one of the 2024 NFL draft. This is like our favorite content of the year, man. What's up, Jeff Williams? Or at least for me. Like I love the prop bets that we do for the Super Bowl stuff, but this is so much fun. Like we talk about it a bunch. We're going to talk about it again. What's your favorite prop bet you've ever made? Because it's one of my favorite ones that's ever happened.
So the year of COVID, when everyone was getting drafted from home, which now it kind of feels like it's kind of weird. Some of these guys like prefer to just stay at home when they get drafted, even if they're going to be a first round pick. But it was how many cats. It was like over under 1.5 cats shown on TV when someone was drafted. I went over. And we nailed it. Tristan Wirfs had like 3 cats. Yeah. We nailed it with 1 draft pick.
Yeah. That was one of my favorites as well. As you can hear in the background, guys, Pepper's here. Hold on. Take us away for a second.
Okay. Excited for tonight. I know the Falcons will probably screw it up somehow. Been seeing some pretty interesting rumors about the Falcons potentially trading with the Rams. And the Rams trading Cooper Kupp to the Falcons. Don't know if that's true. All these Twitter rumors you get at the final hour before the draft are insane. But I think the theme for the draft that I've seen is a lot of trades are expected. A lot of people want to move up for wide receivers, offensive linemen, and QBs. So with that being said, even though you didn't put it on our graphic – I love the over 5.5 QBs selected in the first round.
I was going to put the numbers at 4.5. I couldn't find the odds. I was using Bovada, but like I couldn't find the odds on 5.5. I don't think Bo Nix goes in the first round, but I will say this. That was when I made the graphic. That was my thought, was that Bo Nix is not going to go in the first round. I feel like we've seen him mocked all over the place. Is he a first-round talent? I don't know. But
probably
then,
not.
Like about 30 minutes ago, our buddy Graham Coffee posted today that within the last hour, his odds to go in the first round have plummeted, or maybe skyrocketed, however you want to phrase it, to minus 180. So Penix going. Wow, Penix going in the first round is kind of surprising to me. I just because he's so old, but this. You know, this isn't baseball. We've seen there's not as much of an issue or a red flag with guys that are older just because they're older.
How old is he? What, 23?
He's got to be 24. He's a 6-year COVID kid.
Oh yeah.
But I mean,
think about that. You could get 10, 12 years out of him. I mean, I wouldn't like Kirk Cousins. The Falcons just gave him a 100, however many millions of dollars, and he's 35, and he can't move at all.
Let's talk about that for a second, because this is one of my favorite things about doing this show now, is that like before, like the main show that we do once a week in the off season, twice a week in the regular season, every Monday night, you guys tune in the live show 8 to 8:30 on YouTube, all good stuff. But one of my favorite things about doing this is that we can talk about whatever we want to. Both of us have been whatever the opposite of blessed is to be lifelong Falcons fans. Yeah. And I will just tell you this. I have a prop bet with them that they are going to draft Dallas Turner first. I fully believe it in my heart of hearts. They are not going to do the wrong thing. If they took Latu from UCLA, I would be fine with that. I think he's a great prospect. You could make the case he's better from a production standpoint, despite the injuries, than Dallas Turner.
I actually like Byron Murphy better than both, but okay. I'd be fine with all three. I think you get Latu later. Dude, I think you're going to be right, though. I think they're going to draft Turner unless they trade down.
If they take a G5
cornerback,
me, you, and our old producer Dan Matthews have joked about this forever. The Falcons, the most Falcons thing they can do every single fucking year is you're in a position to go get a dude from Georgia, a dude from the SEC, a dude from the ACC, some big name prospect from a very good tradition rich school. And they go out and get some shit from like Pacific Northwest. And if they go up and get Quinyon Mitchell, I will yeet myself out of traffic. He's currently here are the current odds on the number 8 overall pick. Dallas Turner is +200, Latu +230. So it does feel like they're gonna go edge rusher there. Brock Bowers has the third best odds at +400. I would be ecstatic over that.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it'd be awesome to have Bowers on the team, but I mean So you go Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and then another tight end in the first round. Dude, that'd be crazy. I'd rather, like, if they're going to do that, I'd rather them go, because it seems like one of the top three receivers are going to drop. If my hope of all hopes is that Neighbors somehow, people start drafting up and Neighbors falls to the Falcons, I would love for that to happen. And I would go after a receiver because they have Drake London, and then they signed Darryl Mooney as their number two, which is fine, but I think he's a better three.
Yeah.
So if you could plug in Neighbors, and then if Neighbors isn't there, I prefer they draft Murphy or trade back. Because to me, I think there's not a huge difference between Turner, Verse, and Latu. So if you could trade back and get one of them, I'd rather have Latu or Turner. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but I'd be totally fine to pick up more picks and get Verse at like 20 if he was there.
For some reason, my internet is of course shit. Anyway, welcome to the chat, Jeff Williams, Dakota, Eddie Buza. We appreciate you guys joining us. All right, so here's we made a graphic earlier today about our favorite bets. Now, listen, it's again we're less than an hour away, so some of this needs to be updated. I put this in a couple days ago as JJ McCarthy to go fourth overall. I thought it was a good bet. Those numbers have changed a bunch. Your slotted picks right here is from what you have. Hold on a second.
Here, I put that up.
Yeah. Why does it look like that?
I don't know how to make it not look like that.
Okay, that's fine. It's very, very blurry. But so Tyler has Trey Benson. Now, to be clear, he does not think it's going to happen tonight. Byron Murphy, the first defensive player drafted at +170. J.C. Latham is an interesting one because J.C. Latham is, I think, I could be wrong. Bama fans don't come after me because I am one. I don't think he's that great. I don't think he's a top 15 pick. But if you look at the numbers, again, from this, and this is Vegas always knows, right? Jaden Daniels, for instance, he was -300 yesterday to go number two. He's at -6,000. Jaden Daniels is a done deal to go to Washington. You keep scrolling down here and you go to five, and that's where the Chargers have a pick. Their best odds of who they're going to take, J.C. Latham at +225 and J.J. McCarthy at +250. Yowzers. Wow. Like, because I've heard nothing but Joe Alt being like the guy at tackle. So J.C. Latham, though, having the best odds there is very surprising because all I've seen mocked so far is him at around like 14 to 18. And now we're talking about him being a top five.
Yeah. So a couple guys that I like following for this stuff, obviously your main ones like Jeremiah and McShay and all those guys, but Josh Norris on Underdog usually does a really good job too. A lot of them have J.C. Latham going to the Chargers at five if they don't trade up as the first. So, you know, right now the odds, I took my odds from DraftKings. They had Latham as the second best odds to go first overall, obviously Joe Alt being number one. So I thought that was good value because it sounds like a lot of people are hearing that Harbaugh really likes Latham.
Right.
Got to go up against him last year, so he got firsthand knowledge. Turner is the first defensive player as far as best odds off the board. But I've been hearing a lot about Byron Murphy moving up a ton over the last couple of weeks. Difference maker on the interior, which I don't think there's a lot of great interior players in this draft. So I thought that was a pretty – I've heard the Falcons may be interested in taking him at 8. So I don't think any defensive player is going to go ahead of that before the Falcons pick.
That's fair.
It's kind of a good year to need defense, because it seems like the whole first round is basically offensive players.
Well, and you, we talked about this in the last episode of like the main show, and you brought it up that like there's a little bit of a shift in terms of what's most important. Like in the past, we've seen quarterbacks, left tackle, and an edge rusher, right? And now you talk about like the most important parts of our things to draft. Receiver, there's 21 first-round receivers taken in the last four drafts, which was the most, I believe, for any non-quarterback position in the entire draft. So there's a lot of them here. I'm excited to see because the last four picks are very, very interesting. You talk about, like, the Chiefs. I believe the Eagles are back there. I don't have it in front of me. But the Chiefs,
the Niners, apparently they're looking because of the way that their capital or their cap is structured, they may have to trade one of Ayuk or Debo,
right?
And so there's thought that they may take a receiver back at the back end of the draft.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see. Like we know, in some sort of order, it would probably be Marvin Harrison, Adunze, and Neighbors. But then that second tier, which is like A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, that second tier, I'll be interested to see because if we're always surprised/not surprised when there's more quarterbacks taken in the first round than we thought,
right?
Maybe the receiver is becoming that position where people will draft up to get a receiver because these guys, you know, when you get drafted in the first round, the team gets that extra year to get your contract on that rookie contract. Yeah. These receivers are getting paid so much damn money when they get off their rookie contract. So you may see some of these receivers get traded up for in the back half of the first round.
Yeah.
I'd like to see does Bovada have a first round receivers?
Yeah, they do. Also, again, and I am keyed into this one thing, Tyler, and it's JJ McCarthy. And it's partially because now I'm having to double down on everything. Yesterday I had it at +350. Put down something small on that, and that is that +350 is not bad. And I posted the graphic yesterday. We don't have it in here, of course, but like it was just fascinating to me because if you look at his numbers, okay, if you look at his numbers, this is from a single day ago. It was plus like 6,000 to go first, and then you look like two, it was like +550, and then three through six, it was between +350 and like +475 or something like that, right? Anything over six was, I think it started at +2,000. Anything over six, and now you look at it right now. The current update on it has JJ McCarthy over under 5.5 is under that is +185, but him to go in the top 10 is -1200. So I don't know. Yeah. It's a creative situation. You brought up the receivers thing. Let's get back to that, and I'll stop talking about the one thing that I have bet on here.
There is rumors that the Giants have interest in McCarthy at 6. Like, no trade, just take him straight up. There's rumors, obviously, that the I could easily see – I don't have a good feel on McCarthy stuff because I could easily see McCarthy being the guy that we always see – it shows up for the draft. It has to sit through the entire first round and not get drafted. I don't know if it'll be that, but I could see him going later than – like, even on Jeremiah's latest mock draft, he has him going – the Vikings taking him at 11 straight up, like not having to trade up for him.
So, back to what you said, you brought the receivers, and that may be, like, the thing that happens the most, man. He just goes directly where he's slotted because no one needs to trade up and there's no panic involved in this year. It seems like for the top five picks, everyone is kind of slated or slotted to where it's like, we know what we need. What we need is available. We're just going to go from there. And there's also some generational, like guys, like there's like the Cardinals, there's no reason for them to really trade and not get Marvin Harrison at 4. You know what I mean? So, all right. So total receivers, we could do this position by position. This is again, from Bovada. And it's position by position for total blank select in the first round. You brought up receivers right now. It's over 6.5. It's plus 300 for over, minus 500 for under. I don't think that's a bad idea to take a flyer there because of the fact.
What's the number?
6.5.
Okay, so you got the top three. Then you've got Brian Thomas. You've got A.D. Mitchell. You've got
Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy, and you've got Ladd. I think those are probably the eight that have the chance.
Yeah.
I don't think Ladd will go in the first, but you could see the others because there's been some late talk on Worthy. You know, he set the record at the combine for the fastest speed ever. Gotta look at the Raiders at 12 for Xavier Worthy or 13 for Xavier.
Yeah, I think after he ran that, I put up the video of that MacGruber. Remember MacGruber, the movie when he's like fucking the corpse at the what do you call it at the cemetery? I was like, this is Al Davis. The moment like he sees this. So wide receivers like under 6.5. That seems like it's pretty solid there. Quarterbacks is over 4.5. It's minus
500. I'd go over.
Hammer that.
Minus 500.
The juice is pretty bad. So total offense.
If you could, do you have the ability to do alt line on that? Because I'd go over 5.5.
You can't. I don't see it at least. Let's see here. First defensive player taken. Dallas Turner is now. What do you call it? The juice is now on him at minus 135. He's the only player with that. Let's see. Total cornerbacks selected in the first round, over 5.5. The under is at minus 520. Total defensive linemen, the number is at 6.5. Kind of good betting on both sides here. You've got over plus 175, under minus 250. Total defensive players taken in the first round, over 10.5. Is at minus 175, under is at plus 135. I kind of like that. Total offensive linemen.
O-line's supposed to be – what's the O-line number, like 9.5?
9.5.
Yeah, I know. I've heard at least 8 are going in the first round.
That's insane.
Yeah. Then you got the kid, the center from Oregon, that might sneak in late. But, yeah, you've got – I think O-line receiver and quarterback will probably have the most.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And the total offensive players over 21.5. That's, I mean, kind of shocking. Are there any, they have matchups here as well. Is there anything you like there? I will say that one of the things.
Where do they have Latu in the matchups?
Let me pull it up here.
I think Latu.
By the position they will get picked. I'm seeing like they have Latu versus Byron Murphy. Latu is plus 155, Murphy minus 220.
Yeah, I think Murphy will go first.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense. I tell you, this one's interesting to me. A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy? I like A.D. Mitchell to go ahead of him, but it's plus money on it, plus 200.
Really?
Xavier Worthy is minus 300. I think there's probably some good value there. Nabers and Odunze is very surprising because even when you just casually mentioned it, you said, like, you know, it's probably not like that big of a difference in the order. Nabers is minus 350. Odunze is plus 225. Penix and Bo Nix. Quinny Mitchell, Troy Fontenot.
Actually, if we go back to that, I think so. From what I've read from a lot of people, is that the Giants prefer Odunze over Nabers.
Okay.
So if it gets to their pick, I think they're going to go Odunze. So that might be a decent pick. What was that? That was pretty good odds, right?
Yeah. It was. Hold on, Nabers. Yeah, that is a lot of value there. Plus 225.
Add it to Seahawks big board. Odunze over Nabers plus 225. Let's do that.
I like that.
I like that pick.
Top five pick. Yeah, these
real quick while you're going through that. David Fox says if 4 QBs, 2 wide receivers, and 1 O lineman go in the top 7, don't the Falcons have to take the third receiver? I think they do. I think if you can get one of those receivers, I know it's crazy to go 4 straight drafts drafting a skill player. But they don't – their receiver room – if you're going to have Kirk Cousins for 2 or 3 years, you need to build a team around him. It's the cheapest way to do it is to get top-tier receiver talent. I mean, I get they don't have a pass rush still, but I think you could get like a decent enough – you may be able to trade up in the back half of the first round if you have enough draft capital or you know, you could get a pretty decent player at two. Although I will say, you know, there's going to be some decent receivers on the board in the top of the second round.
Yeah.
This is a deep receiver draft.
Another question from our buddy Jeff Williams. What SEC team has the most player draft tonight? I will say this. I think this will be a year where it's much closer than it has been in years past. I do think it will be Alabama. Yeah. I think and the reason why is like Dallas Turner is probably going to be top 10. J.C. Latham we've seen now projected anywhere between 5 and 15, and he has very good odds to go in the top 10. And then Terrion Arnold will be a top 15 pick. And here's the thing. The one that was, I thought, the surefire lock going into the season and have been shocked that the number has dropped and his stock has dropped is Kool-Aid McKinstry. He comes out and he runs a 4.440. I mean, that's like you just turn on the tape. Just turn on the tape. Like that kid is – he has been absolutely shut down for the several years he's there, makes big plays when he needs them. His number has come down to – will he be over under the 28.5 pick, and the juice is on the under. So I do think they will have four. Georgia should have two or three. They could sneak in Ladd late in the first. Obviously, Marius Mims, Brock Bowers. And the other one, LSU, which is – you know, that's an interesting three for sure. Three, yeah. Probably two in the top 10. That's an interesting thing to look at later on because it's – you know, I see it bickered about between Bama and Georgia fans a lot. Like if you're – and we see it in the SEC as well, but like, are you doing less with more when you have all these draft picks and like LSU, man, you just, it's hard for some of those. I think it's going to be hard for some of those fans, Pepper says, hey, to swallow that, like in the future of if that team had a defense, they probably could have competed for a national championship because you're talking about don't start. If you had a defense, you're talking about three first-round guys, two receivers, and a quarterback. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, offense wasn't a problem, and those three guys put up a ton of numbers. But
yeah.
I'm trying to think, and I don't necessarily know along the O-line and D-line, but, like, what other players they'd even have drafted this year?
For who? LSU?
LSU.
It's
like if those three guys that are going the first round and then they might have another player drafted.
No, they'll have another player drafted. Yeah. Mason Smith will probably go around the third round. He'll be a top 100 guy and a couple other guys. But yeah, it's surprising because they will have – it's a very top-heavy year for LSU. All right, so the plan is most likely, right, we'll come back at the end of the first round – take through some of our picks, see what where those landed, and then also have our reaction. But you got anything else for the preview?
No. What do you think is going to be the biggest shocking move? You think someone's going to trade up for McCarthy, or do you think somebody? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think anything shocking will happen? Because remember last year, like A.J. Brown just got – or like 2 years ago, A.J. Brown just got traded to the Eagles in the middle of the draft.
It's the NFL draft. Like we had – I think this is the year we've heard the least. Like there's been so few things we've heard about. It's like where anything bad could happen. I would be shocked if there wasn't something that we're talking about on the post first round show. Because like, because at some point somebody's gonna get trigger happy, jump up, wait. They're gonna overreach. It happens every fucking year. Every fucking year.
I wouldn't be surprised to see some sort of high level talent be traded. Like you know, I mentioned earlier there was a rumor that the Rams could trade Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
As part of a package to move up. The Niners are looking at possibly trading Debo. So I think that's I think someone is going to try. I think someone's going to trade. What ultimately I think will happen is the Broncos might trade down and take Knicks.
Yeah,
later in the first. Because apparently they're in love with him. I don't know why. He kind of looks like he'd fit in Denver.
That's actually a really good point.
I don't know why. I think he just kind of looks like I don't know a guy from Denver.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, so I think Blake Bowers makes a good point with the Bo Nix thing. I'll tell you what, like Blake Bowers, dangerously close to Brock Bowers. There are rumors that the Rams are going to trade up and possibly take him. And here's the other thing too, Tyler. Like one thing that I think is going to be super interesting, it happens seemingly every year as of late, there are certain franchises that are in love with certain schools. You see the Eagles that love to take Georgia players, a lot of Bama players.
Used to be the Patriots used to go to the Bama a lot.
Right. So I wonder if that will be something that we see again. And also we saw that the Eagles have been very active on the first 2 days, the last 2 years. So anyway, we appreciate you guys joining in. We're going to call it, I'm going to go put some chicken nuggets in the oven, get ready for round one. I appreciate you joining me. We're going to save this a bunch just because we're trying to build this channel and all that good stuff. But please like and subscribe, all that good stuff. We love you guys, and we will see you a little bit later.
Peace.
This is so much fucking. What's up, guys? Welcome in to the second half of this podcast, show, whatever you want to call it. I apologize. I'm not sure why the... hopefully the stream is not messed up. Hold on. I'm just gathering my spear. First round of the NFL Draft Recap Show. It is over. The first round concluded tonight. Not that crazy, but then also pretty crazy. Just some very odd moves. We'll get into all of them. I appreciate you guys joining. Hopefully you guys watch the pre-show. I think we got like one pick, right? It was a very chalky start to the draft. We'll get into some of the numbers and the full takeaways as well. So first and foremost, like and subscribe to the channel if you guys don't mind. Appreciate it. Trying to get this thing off the ground. Hope everyone had a fantastic evening. And all right, let's get into it. So first round is over. Right off the bat, just looking at the numbers conference by conference, the SEC finished with the most picks, I believe, for the 17th straight year in the first round, or at least like 12 out of the last 13 or something like that. And what's up, Evan Grimes? We'll get to your questions in a minute. Make sure you put some questions in the comment section as well, and we'll go from there. It'll be a very nonchalant is the best way I can phrase it. Show. Sorry, I'm out of Celsius. I've had so much today, and it was a lot of fun. But so back to it. The SEC finishes with the most picks in the draft. They finished or in the first round of the draft again. They finished with 11. Kind of a late, a little bit of a fury at the end with a couple of picks there. Ricky Pearsall going to the 49ers. Okay, from Florida, and then you saw the Panthers trade up. To get the last pick of the first round. I thought this was pretty cool. The Panthers flat out told Xavier Leggett if he was there when they had their first pick, they would go get him. And they did, which is in an age of smoke screens and kids being told different stuff than what is actually true. I thought it was pretty awesome that the Panthers kept their word and they got a kid from their backyard. And if you haven't heard his accent, there's no better way to phrase it. It was pretty awesome. So that is the numbers from the first round. You had, let me pull up one of the many graphics that I've made. Had a blast tonight. So the numbers from the first round, you had the SEC with 11, the Pac-12 finishing with 8, second most, the Big 10 and the ACC both finishing with 4, and then the Big 12 finishing with 3. You also had a couple picks from G5 schools and then also Notre Dame, so that's why the numbers don't add to 32. But the SEC finishing with the most again. All right, just kind of going through the picks. Obviously, Caleb Williams goes 1. I said it was very chalky at the start. Not a lot of craziness until pick 8. I wanted to come on here and do an instant reaction to this with Tyler immediately. As two lifelong Falcons fans, the Falcons, if you did not watch, good for you. That's emotionally healthy and stable. The Falcons took Michael Penix with the 8th overall pick. Why is that a surprise? Well, if you paid attention to the offseason, they paid the most milquetoast quarterback possible, $180 million with Kirk Cousins, which I actually like that. And then drafted Michael Penix at 8. Let's just get into why this is infuriating if you're a Falcons fan. Michael Penix would have been available later. His actual draft spot on DraftKings, FanDuel, all that kind of stuff, it was at 32.5. He was a fringe first rounder, even though everyone thought he would go in the first round. But it was much later. If you're the Falcons, you could have traded back, could have traded back, probably got enough, like a defensive end. Everyone thought they were going to go defense, especially with the new hires, Raheem Moore. And the fact that you finished dead last in the NFL in the last 3 years with total sacks with only 81, it seemed like it would make a lot of sense to go get Latou or Dallas Turner. You could have gotten both those guys if you traded back. You didn't. You went and got Michael Penix. The weird part about this, on top of all the things I just said, is the fact that they didn't tell Kirk Cousins until they were on the clock. I fully understand you want to, you know, anonymity or secrecy or what the fuck ever. But not telling Cousins until you're on the clock after you just paid him $180 million, just very weird. Very weird. Didn't love it. That was my first big takeaway. Obviously, that was just bizarre, very bizarre. After that, you saw some of the more notable picks coming out of there. You had J.J. McCarthy going 10th overall to the Vikings. You had six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 overall picks. It was the most, I think, in that many picks in the history of the draft, which is nuts. Other notable things that we talked about beforehand – kind of shocking. I think they went 23 total picks. 21 total picks in the first round without a cornerback being taken. That is the most, I believe, since 1995, which is very bizarre because it's a very, very good class of cornerbacks. I mean, you had Terrion Arnold, who I think a lot of people thought would go number one. He ends up going, I believe, second from the DBs. Quinion Mitchell goes first to Philly. Kind of surprised by that move because Philly has been very, very adamant and consistent with getting SEC guys specifically from Alabama and Georgia. But they still go get a good one. The kid showed out at the senior bowl. So it's not like it's a bad pick or anything, just kind of odd. What else? Yeah. So then you didn't have a ton of quarterbacks taken. The Chiefs trade up to get Xavier Worthy. I felt like the moment Xavier Worthy ran a 4-2-1 that he was destined to go to Kansas City. It's not like they're still replacing Tyreek Hill because they've obviously won a Super Bowl without him, but that's – you can't teach speed, which I thought was really awesome. Going back to some of the SEC stuff, I know a lot of our listeners are more SEC. Brian Harsin is in shambles. Going back to more of the SEC stuff, you had three LSU players drafted in the first round. You also had two receivers drafted in the first round. I thought it was funny. Their wide receiver U is definitely, I think, between them, Ohio State, and Bama, you could probably make an argument for any of them. But LSU coming with their fifth receiver that was drafted in the first two rounds in the last 5 years. Five different receivers drafted in the first two rounds over the last 5 years. Really, really impressive. It's the second time they've had two first rounders as well in the last 5 years. What's up, Mike? Can't believe the Bills did this to me. So the Bills just kept weirdly trading back, trading back in a way that was like, eh. Like, it wasn't like they were trading to get a ton of picks. It was just like, yeah, we'll move back like one or two spots. Like, what are we doing here? I like Darius Robinson from Mizzou going in the first round. I thought that was really great. Georgia, Brock Bowers goes 13. Listen, Brock Bowers could have been a top five pick from a talent standpoint, and he goes 13. I think if you're Georgia and Kirby Smart, you have some really cool selling points here. One, Brock Bowers is one of the most decorated tight ends in SEC and maybe cultural history, especially over the last 25 years. Been really, really good. There's a part of me that was hoping the Falcons would go up and get him, even though they have Pitts. But he goes to the Raiders. Hopefully that works out well. I don't even know who the quarterback is for the Raiders right now. I think it's Garoppolo still. But he seems like the one guy that everyone agrees on is like a can't miss prospect. The other thing is Amarius Mims. Amarius Mims goes 18 overall to the Bengals, which is a lot of people had J.C. Latham slotted there. Amarius Mims, who's a physical freak, just like probably the biggest freak from an offensive lineman standpoint in this entire draft. The dude has eight career starts. Like, if you're Kirby Smart and you can go up to a recruit and say, hey, listen, this kid had eight career starts and he was a first round draft pick at arguably the second most important position on the entire fucking field. What a incredible thing to have in your back pocket when you go to recruit's home. That is phenomenal. phenomenal. So just another example of Kirby being able to just a tremendous job of him being able to develop talent. I believe that is their 17th first round pick under Kirby since he's been there in just 8 short years, which is really, really impressive. Let's see what else. Bama has 3 guys go. Very surprised that Khalid McKintry didn't go. I don't know if it's a big deal or anything like that. I just like Cooper DeJean didn't, or DeJean or whatever his name is. He didn't go either. I was kind of surprised by that just because I think both were, you saw them anywhere between 18 to the end of the first round. Neither of them went, which is kind of shocking. Let's see what else. I mean, what were y'all's takeaways here? I know we talked about the Bills. Jared Verse is a cool story. I was wondering if the Rams would trade up to go get him. The Dolphins getting Chop Robinson from Penn State. I'd say one storyline that's pretty impressive is the fact that I know we talked about Brian Harsin here for a second. Kalen DeBoer, you want to talk about some ammo to have on the recruiting trail. You had 3 players drafted from this last year's team in the first 20 picks of the draft. Now, not all those kids were recruited by him, but they, you know, that's not always the most important thing when it comes to recruiting pitches and stuff like that. So 3 kids in the top 20 off last year's Washington team. Love that. You had 4 different SEC schools with at least one. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. You had 6. You had 6 different SEC schools with at least one draft pick. Florida getting in there with Ricky Pearsall, which was just, again, like, I don't. Fuck it, I'll say it. If you were going to draft a white receiver in the first round, thought it would have been Ladd McConkey. But that's just me. Let's see what else we have here. Here's a fun fact. So Saban is on his first Saban finishes first, I don't know, his new job. How about that? His first night at his new job. And on College Game Day, apparently he dropped a GD on a hot mic, which is very on brand, so we love to see that. Also, you had 3 players from Alabama drafted closing out his career at Alabama, which means he had a total of 52 first-round picks while being the head coach at the University of Alabama. He had 52 first-round picks in 17 years. To put that in perspective, that is more than 11 different SEC schools. It's as many or more as 12 different SEC schools. So 12 of the other 13 possible schools in your conference, that's more than they've had first-round picks all time in program history. Saban did that just during his time at Alabama. It was more than every team not named Florida or Alabama. That is insane, just insane. Also means that since the merger, in the NFL merger in, I don't remember what year it was, I think it's like 67 maybe, that means Alabama has had more first-round picks since 2019 than Auburn has had in program history with 20. So that is going to be a lot of fun to say on Twitter. Anyway, Evan Grimes, I know you're here in the chat. You're active. What's going on with you? What are we thinking? Let's, like, tomorrow, I don't see – I think you'll see a heavy – again, I keep using the word fury or flurry too much, but, like, I think that the top half – the first 10 picks of the second round all feel like they're guys that could have easily been first round picks. Other surprises, Bo Nix going 12. Bo Nix going 12 was kind of shocking. They can make it up for tonight. They can move up and get Ladd, I guess. But yeah, Bo Nix going 12th overall. I mean, honestly, a cool story. I always love when people do the best thing for them, especially from a mental health standpoint. And it seemed like getting out of Auburn was probably the best move for him, probably the best move for both parties, to be honest, just because it had gotten to a toxic point. He goes to Oregon. Obviously, he's in a much different offense. I wouldn't even say that, not in a negative about Dan Lanning. I don't think Lanning, a defensive guy, is the one that, like, you know, developed Bo Nix into a first-round quarterback. But it's cool to see him have success there. Still a guy that had tremendous success at Auburn early on as well, as a true freshman starter. But he goes 12 overall to Denver. And again, you had 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. Some names that are still on the board. A.D. Mitchell is a guy that I was kind of shocked at. Because, I love Xavier Worthy. I love the fact that he ran a 4.21. You can't teach that, like I said. But A.D. Mitchell at 6'2", 205, you talk about 40 pounds heavier. than Xavier Worthy. And to dude that ran a 4.35, I mean, my God. Like, I just – A.D. Mitchell checks every box for me on being a first-round pick. I was kind of shocked that he did not go first-round overall. Transfer QB is getting drafted in the first round. Yeah, I mean, which just seems to be the thing. I tell you what's cool about that, the transfer quarterback situation of them getting drafted. Evan says here in the chat, four out of the six QBs drafted in the first round were transfer QBs, right? Caleb Williams, obviously. I think it's, I mean, Jaden Daniels, and then Bo Nix, and then Michael Penix. Why I think that's really cool is because we're seeing so many stories now of these kids that, you know, like the best example and the one that really felt like it started all, I know Baker Mayfield did his whole thing, but like, and Kyler Murray as well. But I mean, Joe Burrow was an afterthought. Like Joe Burrow was an afterthought at Ohio State. You heard some of the stuff that Urban Meyer even said to him about, like, you know, it's probably motivational more than anything, but how he wasn't good enough to play there. And he was probably just no better than a D2 quarterback. And then goes and has arguably the greatest season, single season in cultural history at LSU. That's tremendous. And I love the fact that some of these kids are getting, I mean, life-changing opportunities, which sounds cliche, but it's not. I mean, that's just that's insane. So four out of the six total quarterbacks, the only two that did not transfer were J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. Really, really cool stuff out of that as well. I appreciate that, Evan. That's a good point. Ghost Mike says, enjoyed saying on the broadcast, laughed when he casually said he wanted to tamper with the Toledo kid. See, I didn't see that. I didn't, like, I feel like I missed out on some of the broadcast that I should have been watching. Like Tyler was watching the NFL Network. I heard that might have been a better broadcast as well. I was just watching regular ESPN. I'm not sure if the College Game Day crew was on ESPN2 or what. But I missed the Saban hot mic dropping the GD, all that good stuff. But yeah, that's pretty hysterical. Let's see what else we got here. We'll wrap it up here, and then we will, I guess, be back on Monday with a full recap as well. That'll be with Drew Butler and me. So the end of the first round, like I said, by the numbers again, you had the SEC finishing with the most picks for the 14, 15 straight year in the first round. Really, really impressive. The fact that it was from six different schools is also still really, really impressive as well. Because for a while there, you had eight picks and it was only from three different schools. So having 11 picks from six different schools kind of speaks volumes about what we already knew, and the SEC being so good and not just at one specific top heavy school or one or two, I guess. Nick Saban ending his career, I guess, really finally here with some of the last stats you'll see, and him having, 52 first-round draft picks while at Alabama. Again, more than 12 of the other 13 schools in the SEC have had all time. Really tremendous stuff there. A kid from Duke getting drafted in the first round, another Clemson DB getting drafted first round. A lot of cool stories. Texas back in the first round again, which is great. They had two guys go. And I'll tell you what, just last thing we'll close on. Mizzou having more first-round picks than Oklahoma and Tennessee. You'll love to see it. I see them fight on Twitter every single day. So good for Mizzou having a little feather in the cap and a notch in your belt. All right, that is all. Tyler should get this up tomorrow. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy whatever else you're doing. And we will be back, like I said, on Monday night at 8:30 for the live show. It will be most likely with Drew Butler. And y'all have a tremendous evening. Thanks, guys.